Cool. How many of you guys, as we kind of get started here today, I want to know, how many of you guys grew up going Christmas caroling? Anyone grew up going Christmas? That's kind of a hard sentence. Grow up going Christmas caroling. Connor, did you really go Christmas caroling? You were by yourself. You were the Christmas caroler. What's your favorite song to sing? Christmas caroling. Rudolph. The weather outside is frightful. Yeah. Is it delightful? But since there's no place to go, we should. Let it snow, let it snow. Okay. Nice, Mark. Okay. So, all right. So here's the deal. I can remember the very first time people came and they were Christmas caroling at my door. I was in Royal Oak, Michigan. Okay. I lived off of Woodward Boulevard. And here's the deal. Okay. I can remember opening my window and being, or opening my door and being so confused. Like, if you've never heard of Christmas caroling, that's a really weird thing to experience, right? Like, you have people at your door, like, there, and it's like, you open, it's like, hallelujah, hallelujah, you know? It's like, okay, this is awkward, you know? You shut it, and it's like, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and you're like, okay, this is really weird. And so, like, sing another one, and then they just start singing another one, and it's like, all these people know, and I can remember for the longest time being so confused by Christmas caroling. And it wasn't, honestly, I'm not ashamed to admit this. Maybe I should be, but I'm not. It wasn't until like I was in like late middle school, early high school that I started realizing Christmas caroling was really an opportunity for you to kind of want for people. It started off for people to go and spread the message of Jesus through song. That's how Christmas caroling began. It began as a way for Christians to go out and talk about Jesus through song. And so they would go through village and village to village, and they would be singing these messages about Jesus. Well, then it kind of got messed up because we invited like a fat guy who wears a red suit and breaks into our houses every year into the songs. And then, you know, we got a reindeer that has a red nose and like all these other things. And it became more about just this what we have made Christmas to be rather than Jesus himself. And what we're going to do over these next couple weeks is we are going to take these Christmas carols, not like Santa Claus is coming to town, not like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Razor, Frosty Razor. He's gotten dangerous, okay? He's been chilling on the west side. All right, you don't want to mess with him. He's Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, okay? We're not going to talk about those Christmas carols. We're going to talk about the carols that originated the whole idea of Christmas caroling. The Christmas carols that are about Jesus. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at a line or two from each of those Christmas carols and see what they mean for our lives today. And today what we're going to do is we're going to start off by talking about the Christmas carol, O Holy Night. Now, I don't know if you guys know anything about O Holy Night. I did not, okay? So I went on Wikipedia and looked at all the things to know about O Holy Night. And I have some interesting, not really trivia, but good to know information about this, the Christmas carol, O Holy Night. It was written in the mid-1800s, and it was written by a guy, I'm going to ruin this, his name was Placide Capot, okay? He was this Italian guy. I'm fluent, okay? His name was Placide Capot, and he was this poem, or poet, in this village. Now, here's the deal, okay? This guy was known for being a crazy guy. Like, he was the guy who was known for messing up bars. Like, he was not a Christian. He was kind of known as, like, kind of like a hellraiser. Like, this is who he was. Like, he was just this crazy guy. And this priest came and said, you want to know what? I would love to have a poem written about Luke 2, which is the Christmas story. It's the story of Jesus' birth. And so this priest, he went to this guy. He knew he was a great poet. And he said, I would like you to write a poem about Luke 2. Now, this guy wasn't a Christian. He had no idea who Jesus was. He had no idea. Like, he was not giving his life. His life did not by any way glorify Jesus. But he was writing, or he was given the task to write a song, and so, or write a poem. And so he wrote a poem, and then his buddy came and wrote a song, wrote the music to go along with this poem. And it's kind of cool. You fast forward like 75 years, and in 1906, there was this guy, I can do this one. His name was Reginald Fessenden, okay? How'd you like that name, okay? Reginald Fessenden, okay? And he was a 33-year-old Canadian professor. And what he ended up doing was he made the first radio. He made the first AM transmitter radio. And what he ended up doing was he pretty much had this old generator. He hooked it all up. He found a microphone, hooked up the microphone to this generator, and he was able to broadcast the first AM frequency. Okay, and you're like, that's really weird. Okay, how do you know this? Wikipedia. And so the way this ties in is this. Reginald Fessenden, okay, he took this AM transmission, and what he ended up doing was he read Luke 2 over this radio transmission through the microphone. And then after he had read Luke 2, he got up, he grabbed his violin, and he played O Holy Night. And O Holy Night was the first song to ever transmit over the radio waves, which is a pretty cool thing. Now, some of you guys are like, I have no clue what O Holy Night is. And so we're going to play, and by we, I mean Nicole and Courtney, are going to play O Holy Night. And we're gonna listen. The words are going to be up on the screen. And you guys are going to be able to listen and see the heartbeat behind this song. All right, so why don't you guys listen to the song for us.
O Holy Night, the stars so brightly shine. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and never pine.
it's that song that was broadcast over the radio waves for the first time back in 1906. And it was that song that captures the heart of Christmas caroling. It's that song that shows us who Jesus is and what he has done. And it's all based off of Luke 2. And so what we're going to do each week is we're going to take these Christmas carols and we're going to look at one or two lines. And we're going to see how we can take these Christmas carols and take them and apply them to our own lives. They're not just songs that we sing, okay, on you know, 101.1, you know, 0.100, whatever it is, okay? You know, that radio station, okay, that sings Christmas songs, okay? That one, okay? It's the Christmas channel, okay? So, you know, but it is a song for us. And what I love, the line that I love of this song says this: a thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. The reason I like that is because, in my opinion, I think there's no better way to describe our world today than weary. And it was the same word that was used to describe the world back in the mid-1800s. And that word, I think, describes a lot of the friends that you have at school. I think that word describes a lot of the families that you know. I think that word describes a lot of the kids you play sports with. They are weary. Like, nuh-uh, they're totally fine. Can I tell you that beneath the surface, almost everyone that we know is weary. They're tired. They're exhausted. They hate how their life has been going. And you want to know what I love about this song is that this: Jesus' birth is a thrill of hope that is inserted in the midst of this weary world. And what happens is, because of that thrill of hope, a new and glorious morning comes. There's this book in the Bible called Lamentations, and it was written after the fall of Jerusalem back in 586 BC, okay? So like a really long time ago, okay? And what happened was, these Babylonians, they came and they pretty much just demolished Jerusalem. Now, does anyone know what Jerusalem was? Jerusalem was what? Do you guys know? It was a city, but whose city was it? It was God's city. This was like God's chosen city. And so the Babylonians came and they destroyed the city of Jerusalem. And the prophet Jeremiah writes this in Lamentations 3. And I think this is a description of the weary world that we still live in today, and what happens when we have a thrill of hope inserted into our weary world. All right, Lamentations 3, Jeremiah, he goes this. He says, "I well remember them," talking about the people who had been lost in the destruction of the city of Jerusalem. And he says, "I well remember them." And he says, "My soul is downcast within me." He says, "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail." Verse 23 says, "They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." He says, "I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." I think from this passage in Lamentations 3, we can find three truths that happen when a thrill of hope is inserted into our lives. What happens when a thrill of hope comes into our weary and dark souls? And the first thing is this: a new day with Christ, okay? This is what our thrill of hope is. A new day with Christ will bring you exactly what you need. This thrill of hope, when Jesus was born, it was a new day in Christ. And this is exactly what the prophet is saying. He says, listen, the Lord's compassions, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And he goes on to say in verse 24, he says, "The Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him." And so when Jesus came, he offered us a new day. And that new day in Christ brings us exactly what we need. Here's the deal. It's not always exactly what we want. All right, our new day with Christ brings us exactly what we need, but it's not always what we want. guys, that girl still might not notice you, okay? Or girls, that guy might not notice you, okay? It doesn't matter how many times you Snapchat him, okay? Selfies of yourself, he still might not notice. All right, guys, you might not make playoffs for your football team. You might not, okay? You might not be starting. Girls, okay, you might not get that certain grade, okay, or whatever. You might not be friends with that certain people. It's not exactly what you want, but then every new day in Christ brings you exactly what you need. I love this part of the Lord is my portion, because here's where that comes from. It comes from the Old Testament when the Israelites, who were God's chosen people, they were wandering throughout the desert, they were hungry, and they cried out to God. They said, God, why did you take us out of the slavery of Egypt? And God said, because you are my chosen people, I will give you all that you need. And so a pretty cool thing happened. Every morning they would wake up, and the Israelites had fresh manna, fresh bread, okay, waiting for them. And every morning, the Israelites, they would go out and they would gather the manna. And guess what? They would only be able to keep what they needed for that day, because the next day when they woke up, the manna that they had tried to save from the previous day, it had become rotten. Like, there was no way. There's like maggots all over it. Like, it was disgusting. But guess what? When they found that rotten manna gone, they would walk outside and God provided brand new, fresh manna for them. And so when Jeremiah writes, Lord, you are my portion, what he is saying, he's saying, I am all that you need today. And that's what this new day offers you. When you're weak, he gives you strength. When you're lost, he helps you find your way. When you're hurting, he brings you comfort. When you're feeling down, he gives you joy. This is what a new day in Christ gives you. Exactly what you need. I can remember when I was younger. Okay, I was at like a birthday party or something like that. I don't really remember exactly where I was at, but I was at this like party, and I can remember my dad told me I could not eat another piece of cake. I was really ticked because I was kind of a fat kid, okay? And I was like really, really mad. And I was like, Dad, I want another piece of cake. And he's like, Rick, you cannot have another piece of cake. And I was like, I want another piece of cake. And he's like, you cannot handle another piece of cake. And I was like, please. And he's like, all right, fine, you can have a piece of cake. And so I take this huge piece of cake and I start stuffing my face with this cake. And guess what? I polished it, okay? Like, have you guys ever seen the movie Matilda? You know, where like that fat kid like downs that cake and he like, you know, tosses it on the table and then the principal breaks it on his head. Like, that was the kind of idea, okay? Like, here I am. What was his name? He's like, Bruce. That was it, Bruce, okay? I just totally got transported back to that movie, okay? So, like, I was like that. I, like, licked the plate clean. I was like, ah, you know? We get into the car after the party is done, and we start driving home, and guess what? I barfed the cake up all over the back of our van, like, all over the back seat, and I was like a hose. I was just like, ah! You know? It was just, like, everywhere. My sister was ducking for cover, you know, and everything. And my dad was like, I told you didn't need that piece of cake. And he probably didn't say it at that point because he had to clean up the rest of the van and everything like that. But I'm sure later on he was like, she probably said to my mom, like, I told him he didn't need that piece of cake. And here's the deal. I wanted that cake, but it was harmful for me. A new day with Christ is going to give you exactly what you need, not exactly what you want, because often what we want is going to be harmful to what we need. All right? A thrill of hope is going to bring you exactly what you need. The second thing that it's going to do is going to bring you the hope to keep going. The thrill of hope in a weary world. Lamentations 3 says this, the Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. The one who seeks him, and they go on to say, find salvation in him. Here is the deal. The Lord is good to those whose hope is found in him. And when Jesus came in the form of a baby, that is exactly what he gave us. He gave us the hope that we need. I don't know who said this. It was some famous dead guy. And he said this. He says, people can live 40 days without food, 8 days without water, 4 minutes without oxygen, in a few seconds without hope. You guys, I just think that's so true for our lives. Hope is an essential part of our lives. And when Jesus was born into this world, this new day with Christ that was given to us gives us the hope to keep going. But the problem is many of us, we put our hope in things that are always going to fail us. We put our hope in our relationships. When my relationship with the girlfriend or the boyfriend is going great, then I have all the hope that I need. But when my relationship is tanking, I feel like I have no hope. Maybe you have like a part-time job and you get so frustrated because they just don't understand that you want Thursdays off, okay, to come hang out with like this really awesome youth pastor, okay? Like they just don't get it, all right? But maybe that when it's going, your hope is just in the tank. Maybe you put your hope in school, and when you're getting awesome grades and things are going well, you have all the hope you need. But then when school dips out on you, and you're like, I went from an A to an E, okay, and like no time flat, and progress reports are going home, my parents are going to ground me, and like everything is going, you know, like you lose hope. Here's the problem. Our outcome must be, our hope must be in Jesus. This new day with Christ brings us the hope that we need. I love what Hebrews says in chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Do you guys see that? Let us hold on. Okay, I don't know, when was the last time you guys held on to something? I know for me, I go water skiing every single summer when I go up to northern Michigan, okay? I'm from Michigan, all right? Remember, we do the hand thing. I go up to northern Michigan, and we go water skiing. And every time I go water skiing, okay, it would be a really boring boat ride if when I got in the water and I held on to the rope and my mom or my dad gunned it on the boat and I just let go. I'd be floating there, and then they would come around and be like, all right, don't let go. I'd be like, okay. You know, and I let go. I would never get out of the water. But no, I have to hold on to that rope. I have to act like I am pulling the boat back to me. I hold on like there's nothing left to do. And what Hebrews is saying is you need to hold unswervingly to this hope that you profess. You need to hold on to this hope, because he who is your hope, he's the faithful one. And what kills me the most, you guys, is seeing people give up hope. Guys, I work with students. I hang out with people just like you, and I've seen students give up hope. My brother, he's a year younger than me. 2 years ago, I might have told you guys this story. 2 years ago, we were at camp, and I was hanging out with you guys. We were talking, you know, and having fun. And my brother called me, and I was just like, oh, I'm at camp. I'm not going to answer the phone. And so I ignored it. And then my mom called me. And then my brother called me. And then my mom called me. I'm like, okay, something has to be going on. So what I did is I said, all right, you guys, you have free time. And you guys all did your own free time thing. And I went to our van that we had brought up. And I just got in the van because it was the only quiet spot. And I called my brother. I said, Nick, what is going on? And my brother told me how my other brother, Tommy, had given up hope in life. And 2 years ago, my brother, Tommy, he tried to kill himself. And I asked him, I said, Tommy, like, why would you do that? And one of the things he said, he's like, I had no hope. I couldn't do this anymore. So I did not feel like I had anything to look forward to. You guys, a new day with Christ is going to bring you this thrill of hope that we need, because he who promises is faithful. And when we give up hope, what we're doing is we're letting go of the hope we profess our faith in. And the problem with that is we've replaced it. Whenever we would let go, we've replaced our hope with something else. And so if you're sitting here and you're saying, you know, I do not have hope, my question to you would be, what have you put your hope in? Because if you've put your hope in Jesus, you can't lose hope, because he is faithful. But if you've put your faith in something else, if you've put your hope in something else, it's always going to fail you. And since that day with my brother, I've constantly been trying to help him to see that the only time his hope will be renewed and fulfilled is when he puts his hope in Jesus. And can I tell you, I think my brother is close. And Esteban, you know, he is close. He's hungry. He's always asking me questions. He's texting me, hey, what about this? Hey, can you help me through this? Why? Because he sees where my hope is. A new day with Christ, this thrill of hope, is going to bring you exactly what you need. It's going to bring you the hope to keep going. And the last thing that it's going to do is it's going to bring you the help that you're seeking. All right? Lamentations 3:24 says this, or 25 says this, the Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. Here it is. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. A new day with Christ is going to bring this salvation that the Lord offers. Salvation from what? Salvation from the sins that have enslaved you. Some of you guys, you know what I'm talking about. You've gone to that party and you've been crazy, like blackout, like you don't even know what happened. You wake up the next morning and you don't feel joy. You feel guilt. Why is that? Because what has happened is we become entangled in our sin. Some of you guys, you went nuts on this person because they made you mad. And guess what? Afterwards, you don't feel relief. What do you feel? You feel guilt in that. And why? Because we have been enslaved to sin. Some of you guys, you just have a problem lying. And every time you lie, you just hate yourself for it. You have problems cheating at school, whatever it might be. You have problems hating that person. You don't understand why you hate that person. You just do, and you don't want to. Why? Because all of this is part of the sin that we struggle with. And the Lord has given us this thrill of hope to give us the salvation for our souls. Sometimes, though, we just have to wait. Sometimes we just have to wait. And when we wait for it, it's amazing the difference that just one day can make. Some, and you guys know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you guys have been at the lowest of lows, and just one day later, you find joy again. Just one day can make an incredible difference. I was thinking about it, and I was thinking through the Bible, and I was like, Lord, when did people lose hope? And I thought of Jesus with his buddy Lazarus. Now, they were like best friends. And if you guys know the story about this, Jesus was in this city far away, and Lazarus's sister sent these messengers to Jesus, and they were like, Jesus, you need to come. Lazarus is sick. He's only got a few days left to live. If you leave now, you'll be able to make it and save Lazarus. And Jesus is like, no, I'm going to chill here for a little bit. And Jesus ends up chilling in the city for a few days, and guess what? Lazarus dies. Like, gone. Dead as a doorknob, okay? Like, he goes, and like, they actually like wrap him in the linens. They bury him, okay? Which, back in the day, they didn't bury him in the ground. Normally, they would like, to be honorable, they would put him in these caves, and they would roll these burial stones in front of these caves. And so Lazarus, he was like in the cave, he was gone, and then Jesus shows up, like at the funeral, right? Jesus shows up, and like, all the people are crying and everything like that. And I can only imagine what Lazarus's sisters must have felt like the day before. Like, man, why wouldn't Jesus have just come and saved our brother? I can't believe our brother is dead. One day later, Jesus shows up. And you want to know what happens? Jesus tells him to roll the stone away. He goes up to Lazarus, and he just places his hand on Lazarus's dead body. And he says, Lazarus, get up. And Lazarus, who was once dead, sits up in his cave and is like, ugh. You know, like kind of shakes off the dust, takes off the linens, and is like, what just happened? Can you imagine the new hope that Mary, okay, and Martha had when their brother walked out alive one day? There was this other woman, she had been bleeding. She had this bleeding issue that she had struggled with for 12 years. And she had gone, she had seen doctors, she had spent all this money to try and see how to get better. And guess what? Nothing was working. And one day, Jesus walks into town, and there's all these people crowding around Jesus. And this woman, she just kind of moved. Have you guys like ever been at like an Eagles game, okay? And there's just so many people going, and you're like trying to like scoot yourself through. And this is her, and she's just trying to reach just to touch Jesus. And she kind of gets knocked down to the ground, and she just is reaching and just tries to touch Jesus. And she gets to grab just the corner of like his cloak. He had this tassel that was hanging on the corner of his cloak, and she just kind of caught the corner of this tassel, and immediately the bleeding stopped, and she was healed. And Jesus knew. He was like, whoa, what happened? Power just left me. And they're like, what? Jesus, like, you've been bumping along people. Like, how would you know? And this woman comes forward. And can you imagine the new hope that she had when she knew that when she had known that she was healed versus the day before when she was not healed? One day can bring you the hope and the help that you're seeking. There's another guy who is 38 years old. He has spent his entire life this crippled guy. He was always at this pool hoping to be healed, and Jesus comes through, long story short, and he tells this guy, he's like, here's the deal. I want you to get up. I want you to walk across town, and I want you to jump into this little fountain. He says, when you jump into that fountain, you'll be healed, and afterwards, I want you to go offer the sacrifices that Moses tells you. And this crippled guy, he gets up, and he walks all the way across town. I got to imagine when he got to the pool, it was kind of like the Eye of the Tiger moment in Rocky as he's running up the stairs, you know, like this guy is walking crippled to this fountain, and I'm sure he was so tired, he probably just fell into the fountain. And I got to imagine the new hope that he had when he didn't stand up kind of like his crippled, hunched over self, but when he stood up and he was just like, ugh, and everything was normal in his body. New hope that he did not have a day. Why? Because one day makes all the difference, because Jesus is going to give you the help that you need. What's the common denominator between all these things? They all had an encounter with Jesus. And this thrill of hope in our weary world that comes is when we encounter Jesus. A new day is coming. Some of you guys, you need to just hear a new day is coming and your help is coming. Your help is coming. Romans 13 says this. It says, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. He says, the night is nearly over. The day is almost here. Can I just tell you, some of you guys, you need to hear this. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. And guess what? Whatever you're dealing with, the struggles that you're struggling with, it's almost over, because this thrill of hope has come into the world. He gives you exactly what you need. He gives you the hope that you need, and he gives you the help that you need. This is what Jesus offers to our weary soul. Worship team, you guys can start making your way back up. And here's the deal. Because Jesus was born, we have this thrill of hope in this weary world. And would you guys, my challenge to you guys is this, would you just remember that a new day in Christ can bring you more than you can ever imagine. So my hope is when you hear this song, Oh Holy Night, you would no longer just think of this idea of fall on your knees, but you would think of the new hope that Jesus brings you every single time that you are with him. Now, here's the challenging part to me. I was reading on Wikipedia kind of what was going on with this guy. And here is a guy who is not a Christian who wrote this incredible song about Jesus. And you want to know what I saw from that? Is that you can know about Jesus, but not actually know him as your hope. You can write about Jesus, but not actually know him as your hope. And can I tell you, you will never have what you need. You will never have the hope that you want, and you will never have the help that you need if you do not put your hope, your faith in Jesus. Because Jesus came down to this world in the form of a baby. He grew up and became a man. And guess what? He died on the cross for your sins so that you could enter into a relationship with him. You'll never experience this thrill of hope if you're not willing to enter into a relationship with him. And can I tell you, being in a relationship with Jesus is not just knowing about him. This guy who wrote the song, Oh Holy Night, knew about Jesus. This thrill of hope comes when we know Jesus personally. If you're sitting there tonight, here tonight, and you're sitting and going, you know what, Rick, I want this hope. I want this help. I want everything that I need in Jesus. All you have to do is simply just pray and ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. And you just simply ask that he would become the Lord of your life, that he would kind of take control. And when that happens, you are going to receive this thrill of hope in your life. You might not feel it right in this moment. you might not walk out those doors in a little bit and be like, yes, I have a thrill of hope now. You know, like some of you, you might. I've known people who literally in a moment, they were changed. Like I know this guy, I know this kid in college, he was addicted to cocaine, like hard drugs, okay? He gave his life to Christ. He started a relationship. He received a thrill of hope. And guess what? He did not need to go through like withdrawals or anything like that because Jesus gave him this new hope and it broke him of his addiction. He walked out of our dorm changed. Some of you, that could happen to you tonight. Some of you are like, I need this thrill of hope. Some of you, it's going to take time. But can I tell you, Jesus is always enough, and he is our hope. And so here's what I need you guys to do. If you're sitting there and you're saying, I want this thrill of hope, I just want to offer you the opportunity to have that thrill of hope in your life. And it's done simply by just asking Jesus to come into your life, to enter into a relationship with him. And so if you're sitting there, I want all of you guys, just let's bow our heads, let's close our eyes. And if you guys are sitting there saying, you know what, Rick, I'm digging what you're talking about. I know what you're saying. I want that. I want that. I want that new thrill of hope. I want that relationship with Jesus that you're talking about. All you need to do is simply just pray and ask Jesus to come into your life. Praying is just you talking with God. And if that's something you want to do, you just simply have to pray something like this. Lord, I thank you for loving me so much that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. And Lord, I believe that Jesus is my Savior. I believe that he is God. And because he is God, I ask that you forgive me of my sins. And you give me hope that is only found in you, Jesus. Give you my heart. Please become Lord of my life. With every eye closed, with every head bowed, if that was something that you just prayed, I want to encourage you to not leave here tonight without talking to a leader. If that was something that you prayed, come talk to me afterwards. Because here's the deal, you have invited this new hope into your life. Some of you guys, you've prayed something like that before. Some of you guys, you've prayed something like that before, and you want to know what? You've felt that hope, but you've replaced that hope with something else. Maybe you have a boyfriend, maybe you have a girlfriend, maybe it's been school, maybe it's been friends, whatever it might be. You've replaced that hope with something else because you know that right now you feel hopeless. Jesus is ready and waiting to make a connection with you. He wants to be the hope that you need. Here's all you need to do. You need to repent. You need to ask for forgiveness for placing your hope in something else. The song says, fall on your knees. This is what forgiveness looks like, where you come before God and you just simply ask that he would take away this false hope that you've put your trust in and replace it with the true hope that is found in Jesus. So if you've prayed something like that before, okay, you know that you've kind of started a relationship, but you've misplaced your hope in something else. Here's what I want you to do. I want you just to pray something like this silently between you and God. Father, I come and I just apologize for misplacing my hope in other things. I see that my hope will always fail me if it's not in you. And I ask, Jesus, that you would take away these things that I've put my hope in too, and you replace them with allowing me to have hope in you in all times for all things. Lord, I thank you for sending your son Jesus to this earth. I pray that you would allow me to leave here changed. I want to challenge you guys just again, with your eyes closed and your heads bowed. So I just want to challenge you guys as we sing these next couple songs to fall on your knees. We have prayer rails up in the front. You guys don't have to use those. It's not like you have to. But if you are sitting here saying, I've misplaced my hope in other things, we're going to have staff members who are going to be here to pray for you. We have other students who would be happy to pray for you. God is asking that you would fall on your knees. You would hear the angels rejoicing over this birth of Jesus that we celebrate for Christmas as he brings us new hope. God, we thank you for your love. God, we thank you for your peace. God, we thank you for how you have sent your son Jesus to be all that we need. And God, I thank you for this Christmas carol called O Holy Night. Lord, I pray, God, that every single one of us, we leave here tonight no longer seeking out what we need on our own strength, Father, no longer seeking hope in other things, no longer giving up because we don't have help. But Father, I pray, God, that we would just wait one day. And God, we would see that you want to bring us this new hope in Jesus. Lord, I pray, God, that tonight many hearts would turn to you as their hope. Lord, we thank you. We love you. We pray.